It is JPEG Raw, show number 222. Here in October, we've missed a couple weeks, Tim. I don't know about where you are. Probably it's fall colors already. It's not quite here yet.
Oh, yes.
I don't remember what that map. Last show, we showed a map, and it's going to come down to my area. Whatever it said, I was up in the mountains last week, and the mountains hadn't changed colors, started to change colors at all yet. So I'm expecting it to be fairly soon that they'll start to change colors. I know we're talking in pre-show with AD, who just got back from an awesome trip. And I see some of his photos. We'll probably show them later on. We're up there where he is, not too far maybe from you, up in the New York, Michigan area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, you know, everything north of me is just north.
Yeah. New York, Michigan. Yeah.
New York, Michigan.
It's close, yes.
Yeah, just a.
When I look at a map, it's close.
Yeah.
Driving there, it's a little further.
The colors already started changing wherever he went, but not here. So soon. But anyway, so let me do this in the first half. If you want to subscribe to the show, I have something new, Tim.
Oh, boy.
So you know you can subscribe to the show through YouTube. If you're watching us live, you can watch us, you know, do it through YouTube. You get Facebook going there. You can get it recorded, of course, on YouTube also. But you can get the show recorded in audio, and let's do video, on video format on iTunes, video large and small, YouTube, of course, Vimeo, and Podbean. And then, if you want to get the audio version, which I know there's a lot of people who get the audio version, and I apologize to our audio listeners because I almost always forget that I need to describe things a little better to you guys if you listen in audio-wise. But, you know, it is a photography show, and some of this stuff is hard to describe. But if you want to get it through audio, which a lot of people do, you can get it through iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, and now Spotify.
There you go.
I don't know if you're a Spotify user, but if you are, you can now get it through Spotify.
Is there anything left that you don't put it on?
If I have missed something, tell me and I'll try and get it there. I'm not a big Spotify user either, and they just really opened it up to allow people to go there. You know, we are there now where you can go get it. I think eventually Pandora may open up, but it's not there yet, at least not to, you know, the average person. But maybe someday, so you can get it from there. Once they do, I'll try and get us there. And then, of course, you know, we've got two more months left on the normal photo contest. We're probably going to do open both themes, but like AD requested, the theme is open, but we highly encourage seasonal images for, you know, this September. That says September. Let's refresh that and see if it says October. Ah, I said September. I'll have to fix that later on because that should be October.
Yeah, it should be October.
That should be October. So for October, we highly encourage seasonal images. Let's get back off of that so that doesn't look like that anymore. and seasonal, you know, people from different places of the world, that it may not be fall where you are. Mm-hmm. It may not be Halloween. I don't know if Halloween's not a worldwide holiday, as far as I know.
It is for my kids.
Yes. Well, in their world, yes. so whatever world, you know, whatever the season is in your world, seasonal video, the seasonal photos. If it's not something, probably if it's not seasonal that I would recognize as seasonal, let's say you're in your place, it's spring, you may want to say, hey, it's spring where we are. But in an AD, going back, AD also says we're available on Plex. If you're a Plex user, the audio version is out there on Plex also. All right. So I have something to show at the end.
Okay.
We'll do a little show and tell. Something AD recommended to me that I finally got, but we'll do that at the end. Before that, let's talk about a few things out there in the news. One I wanted to show you, Tim, is this... this tool from MIT where you can go out there and, you know, it's basically a, what do you call it? A, you know, what is it when you go into Photoshop and you clone something out, you erase something out of the image.
Right.
It's basically, they developed something like that will
go
out there and do that. And they go one step further. You can like say, hey, go out to my Instagram feed and remove all the cats. Maybe I'm no longer in the cats. Go out there to the Instagram feed and remove all of my, all the cars in there, or all the people in my photos, or something like that. You can go out there and do all that stuff. It's called Deep Angel, and you give it your feed. I'm not going to do it here live because I'll tell you why in just a second. You can go out there and give it your feed, and it will go out there to your Instagram free feed, and boom, delete all those things.
I had not heard of this.
Yeah.
What's the cost on this?
Well, right now it's free. You can just go to the website. I'll see if I can pull it up. Just go to the website and you can say, I want you to erase all the cats. And then you would give it your Instagram thing, or you would upload an image. And I've tried it with the upload image. It didn't work. I have not given it my Instagram feed because, one, I don't have a lot of photos there. And I'm afraid it might actually go and, you know, go into
erase
the feed
that you don't want
and erase stuff that I don't want it to do. And let me show you why you may not want it to do that. Let's say you... Because I think it looks at the feed and goes through your entire feed. You're not like telling it, do this one image.
Right.
This guy who did a test, it actually choked on his feed and didn't actually do anything. So then he was able to get uploaded photos. So I'll show you why this isn't ready for prime time and why Photoshop is still far better. So here's how it did a... can you make that bigger? Nope. Ah, that didn't. That's no better. That's no better. There. There we go. All right. You see the car on the left?
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I got rid of it on the right.
Yeah.
That's not very good.
Not good at all.
Not good at all.
I mean, the guy standing at the top of a mountain, yes, that makes perfect sense.
Here's a spoon. Look what it did to the spoon.
Yeah, that's pretty pathetic.
Here's a guy.
Yeah, well, he's gone.
You know what this reminds me of? So if you're, I don't know what age, if you're way younger than me, you probably have never done this. But have you ever done this, Tim, or AD or anybody like that? If you go back to one of your grade school yearbooks, did you ever, you know, erase somebody out of your yearbook?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, I have.
I can't even say I've gone back and looked at my old yearbooks.
No. Not now as an adult. I did it as a kid.
Okay.
I wouldn't go back and do that
literally
now.
Literally like erased them out. Yes.
Yeah. So you would take a yearbook and you would take an eraser.
And you could erase.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't like this person. And so far, you know, when I was, let's say 8, I didn't like this person. And I decided I don't want them in my yearbook and I'd erase them out. Yeah, that's what that photo looks like.
Gone, wiped.
They're gone permanently.
Yes.
And of course, now as an adult, I wish I had not done that. And I wish those photos were still in there. But they're gone. And that's what this looks like. Just absolutely horrible.
Yeah, that's...
he says the guy at the top of the mountain is clickbait. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely clickbait.
I did me. Did you erase yourself out, AD? And then here's him erasing out of a... Looks like Howard Wolowitz erasing him out of a... some kind of jukebox? No, what is that?
Cell phone? I can't tell.
No, I think it's one of those gambling machine. What do you call it?
I'm just trying to say casino, but...
It was a gambling machine. Oh. We'll just call it that.
Somebody's going to post and say, you idiots.
Yes. That's probably
slot machine. Slot machine.
Yes.
Said it anyway, before they could.
It's a neat idea. I'd want a little more control over, you know, just letting it loose on my whole feed. And it'd have to be a lot better. And to be honest, I don't know if I'd ever trust something that just go through everything like that. It's not ready, but you know, if you want to clone something out like that, do it before you post it or delete it, clone it out, and then repost it. Do it in Photoshop or Lightroom or some other tool like that, because that is not ready. But it's called Deep Angel. If you wanted to look into that, all right. up next here, Tim, you know, what is one of the first things a photographer should learn? You're getting into photography. What is one of the first things a beginning photographer?
Exposure. Composition, probably.
Yeah, but what? Let's just stay with exposure. What do they call that? The exposure.
The triangle.
The exposure triangle.
Okay.
So this guy is trying to say, let's see, who? Edward Krim. And it's a long article. I'm not going to go through this whole article. If you want to read this over.
Quadrangle.
If you want to go over on Petapixel, you can read Edward Krim's, it's the exposure quadrangle, not triangle. It costs a lot. I don't know what they're saying out in chat. And what he's trying to say is, okay, you got aperture, you got shutter speed, you got ISO, and then the fourth one is the actual light.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, an AD can... AD can correct me here. He's out
That's
in chat.
Semantics.
I'm thinking that the three things in exposure triangle are the things dealing with the light.
Yes.
That as the light gets brighter and darker, I'm changing one or more of those things in the exposure triangle to handle the light. So, yeah, I'm going to say it's still the triangle, not the quadrangle.
Yeah. Semantics.
Like I said, it's a long, long article.
Oh my goodness.
If you want to go read it yourself, you can go, and he gives some evidence on why it should be.
Oh my God. You're right there. I remember that.
You remember this card?
Yes, I had that.
I don't know if I had that one.
Yeah, I had that.
And that's just,
I don't know.
He's saying triangle. What that card is just telling you is in these conditions, try this. And that's you dealing with the light.
That's from back in film at the time. That's what I used.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that is. What he's talking about there. But yeah. Anyway, we're going to stick with triangle.
I even have an exposure meter somewhere. A light meter somewhere.
I have, I think, this exact one.
I have a Minolta.
I have a Siconic. It's actually the last piece of equipment that I bought from an actual photo store that I walked into to buy.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I go to B&H Photo usually, so.
So for me, B&H Photo is up there in New York and everything. So if I'm going to buy it, it's going to be online from B&H, Adorama, or Amazon. So that Siconic light meter, I think that exact same one is the one last thing I bought from there. And I have not used it.
I can't remember the last time I bought it. I think I bought mine on eBay years ago, and I can't remember the last time I used it, and I haven't had a use for it, sadly.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking when I bought it. I was never.
What did I buy this?
I was never advanced enough to be able to effectively use it, and I got that thing because it looks really cool.
I agree.
It looks really cool, and I wanted to be able to use it, and just yeah.
Like having that really long lens. Oh, you must be a serious photographer. He's got a light meter. White lens. It must be. He's a professional.
Yeah. All right. I got one more for you here, Tim. This is, you ever used a site called Fiverr?
No.
Okay. So you may remember the results. I probably have the file somewhere. I wish I'd have had it ready. But Fiverr is a website where you can go out to, and it's called Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R, because a lot of the things you're buying are for $5. And
oh, okay.
There's tons of things you can go out there and buy. I wanted a more sexy male or female voice to do our intro. and to say something like, Mike Howard and whatever, bringing you, I can't remember what it was, but I had a script that I wanted them to read, and it was going to be their voice. I think I got one male, one female, for them to do an intro voice for us. You hear that with a lot of people. So I went out to Fiverr, and it wasn't $5. Whatever I needed for them to do was a little more than that. The girl one was good. I think she was the better one, except for the fact that she mispronounced your name.
My name?
Yeah, your last name. Tim.
Tim Kemperl, probably?
Something like that. She got Tim right, but she mispronounced your last name. So I had to have her do it over again. And she did. She did it over again. And the next time, I think I had to spell it phonetically. the next time. She did it right, and it was good. And I think we might have actually tried it for a little bit and used it. But it just seems weird to me to have somebody else do it. So we went back to normal. But there's tons of things. The reason I'm bringing this up, there's tons of things you can get done over on Fiverr. You can have, you know, there's voice people like what I use. There's graphic people. There's all these kind of things. A lot of things you do, like I said, is going to cost a little more than $5. But there's also photo retouching. So let's say you want to hire somebody to do photo retouching out there because, you know, you don't want to do it yourself. I don't have time to. So, you know, some of the photo retouching is even less than $5. You can get photo retouching for like 25 cents a photo.
Right. A quarter.
Yeah, a quarter a photo. And people who are doing this are going to do it because they think I'll do lots of them.
Right.
That's the whole concept here. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on your thing, and I'm going to do lots of these things. So the $5 or the 25 cents is not much, but I'm only going to spend minutes on it.
If that.
If that.
So you're probably just going to run an action on the pictures.
Yeah, so exactly, yes. So a photographer, Irene Rudnick, decided to give three Fiverr people a try. And she...
I saw this article.
Okay. She wanted this photo here. This is an untouched photo. She wanted this. So Jan said, oh, I thought you were saying fiber. Nope, fiber. Yes.
Fiber. That's the Atlanta, you know, dialect.
Well, I'm from Louisiana, so Louisiana.
Yeah, that's true. It's even further south.
Yeah, Louisiana mixed with Atlanta probably didn't go well. She wanted this retouched, and where did she say? Here's what she says. I would like it if you would make this image very vibrant and warm, clean skin, bright eyes. Excuse me. Make her hair more red so it matches the background. Also, I trust your judgment on making this look beautiful.
for a quarter.
Well, she did a quarter, and then she did $5, and then she did $10. So it's going to be three. It's going to be three. Quarter, $5, and $10. So here's the quarter retouch. Like that, Tim?
Oh, yeah. It's water paint.
Yeah, that is wow. That is, the skin is awful. The red is like this massively is like oversaturated.
It's like it's a Halloween picture suddenly.
Yes.
I mean, this is just horrible.
Look at this hand, the skin on the hands.
Yeah, no. It's like one color, her whole arm.
Yeah, so that's, like you said, they probably ran an action on it and just boom, pushed it out. What do you expect for 25 cents?
Yeah.
So
apparently you're just throwing money away.
Here's the original next to the 25 cent one. Here is the $5 one. Better, but still not great.
A little better.
But better.
But her arms look very flat. There's like, there's nothing to the arm.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe this section
and that one, the $10 pictures.
In that one left hand looks like it's turned gray again.
Yeah.
And then here is the $10 retouching. And again, the face is just way overdone.
I think none of them are good.
I think they progressively got a little better as you spend a little more money on it.
Oh, I would say, well, you can't get much worse than the 25 cent one.
Yeah.
But between the $5 and $10, I don't know that the
yeah, and this is the final.
$10 that much better than the $5.
This is the final edit that the photographer did.
Right. That's pleasing.
Yes, which looks nice. The reds are more under control.
I mean, when you do the side-by-side comparison, it's amazing. I think that should be down below it of the final edit.
Yeah, right there.
I mean, that shows how the colors really pop on it now.
Yeah, and this does show something we're going to talk about in the next article, that most people who have been into photography for a while know that, especially if you're shooting RAW, you're going to have to do some editing afterwards. It doesn't mean Absolutely. You're going to have to Photoshop everything and do massive work on it and everything, but they do need a little bit of retouching. I don't know how much work she did on this one to get that, but you know, you can see in the original, it is somewhat flat, and you do need to work on it a little bit to bring it out.
Yeah, I think the initial picture was a little bit off in the first place.
Okay, I got him. I got out on Facebook. I got to mention this comment that Willie said. Willie, I'm sorry if I missed this when you said it. It might have been a few minutes ago. Hopefully, you're still there. Willie says it's been a while since he's made a live show, and I don't know if you keep up with Willie's images. I wish he would still enter the contest every month. He posts images on Facebook, and his images are fantastic. I love seeing his images. Post some in a group, Willie. I love seeing those images. He also says, looking very well, Mike. Is this a new slimmer you? It is a new slimmer. I got a long way to go. I'm maybe at the halfway point, hopefully. Halfway point to my goal. Hopefully it is the halfway point to where I get. I have hit a little plateau where I'm trying to fight past, so, but we'll see. But Willie's images are just fantastic. Anyway, I know people who outsource to, was it shoot.edit and some other places like that?
Yeah, something like that. We retouching. Talked about that a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm hoping they're getting better quality. That's, I'm assuming they're getting better quality than that. But, you know.
But like she pointed out, $10 a photo, that's a lot of money.
That is $10. That is a lot of photos. Think about it, if you're shipping out a wedding, maybe you're going to do 500, 600, 800 photos.
That you're talking $5,000?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not that. That's where it's got to be a quarter an image.
Yeah, maybe your time's not your time's not valuable that you can afford to do that, most likely.
Yeah.
Which brings us into this next article about. The only place I can really give advice to people is beginners, because I'm barely above a beginner myself. So I like to every once in a while talk to beginners, and I'll later show you one reason why I'm still a beginner. I'll talk about why I'm still a beginner, where I messed up when I was out on my trip. And since AD's out there, he could tell me, oh no, there's a super secret trick you could have done that sure would have done this. Well, Mike, it's not that super secret. Everybody but you knows it. But, okay, hold on. The thing I wanted to bring up, there's an article of the seven things. Let's get rid of that. Seven things. For the absolute beginner. An exposure triangle. We just talked about that. Exposure triangle, the thing for a beginner to know. And if we do have a beginner's group for JPEG to RAW, if you're watching from the beginner's group, this is a great article. It's over on makeuseof.com. Whatever that, I've never been there before. Makeuseof.com. And I'll have all these links in the show notes when I post this. Talking about the exposure triangle, of course, that is on your camera. You know, you're talking the three main things that you're going to, or three things you're going to use to get the proper exposure, the exposure you're looking for, which is the aperture setting, you know, the f-stop.
Right, the size of the opening in the lens.
The size of the opening in the lens. And you can look on your lens, like in this lens, this is a 35 millimeter 1.8, which that's pretty fast. That will open up really big. 35 1.8. So that's your one of them. Your next one is going to be the shutter speed, how long it's exposing the sensor to light. And then the third one is the ISO, and that's basically how sensitive it is to the light. Think of it like cranking up the sound on your stereo or something like that. At some point, if you crank it up too loud, you start getting distortion, and that distortion,
right, get noise.
That distortion could be noise in the image. So those three, and you know, each the three work together. As you change one, it will affect the other. So if you have a slower shutter speed, you know, you will increase the amount of light. And if you want to have a slower shutter speed but the same exposure, you got to change one of the two. I don't want to get too complicated with all that. That's for some other time. But that's number one. If we can get scroll to work, how to hold your camera properly. And I'm not going to play this video, but this is one I'm wondering if it happens more with your type of camera. I'm still on a DSLR. You're on a mirrorless.
Well, my camera's the same as my, you would think my camera's the same as yours. It's mirrorless, but it looks the same as
it
as
is.
Yours.
It's actually pretty thick. And I'm glad you have yours there for something I'm going to talk about later. But what I have seen a number of people, and even people I thought were photographers for a long time, is they'll hold it out like this.
Okay, look, I can't stand that.
Looking on the back of the screen. Yeah. And I guess if you had a really fast shutter speed, or you're just really good with hand holding it, you would you could maybe get a you know, sharp image. I can't. I'm not, unless I have a really high shutter speed, you know, looking at the back of the screen. And on a DSLR, I'm not getting a refresh rate on the back of my screen that I'm comfortable with. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to want to hold it up to my face. Hold, you know, depending on how slow of a shutter speed you have, you know, your technique may need to change. But I'm going to want to hold it up to my face and press it against my face. Take my glasses off here. But, you know, press it against your face, so you're using your face as a brace for it and to reduce your movement.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And the other thing, you see a lot of people just hold a camera like this where the left hand is like useless. I always tell people, you're holding it with your left hand and then the other hand is there. I'm cradling in this arm and holding up against my face, which is exactly what he's doing in this picture.
Yeah. And then even your stance. This is a video that's, I forget how many minutes long. It's not that long. But he shows you some different stances you can do because you want to brace yourself. If you can lean against a wall, you know, if you can get bracing some other way, you do that. If you have a fast enough shutter speed, you know, you can, you don't have to be quite as worried about the bracing and everything. But you want to hold it properly. Holding it out like this, like you would your cell phone, is not going to do well for you. So if you're wondering, why can't I ever get a sharp image and you're doing like this? Well, that's the first place to start. All right, number three is the rule of thirds. So, Tim, I did a class at work, a beginner's class at work on photography a couple of years ago, I think it was. And still to this day, I have people from that class sending me photos they take with their cell phone. Hey, what do you think of this? Like, you know, because they had tried to put something in the third.
Dead center. Right.
Yeah, well, that's what they had always done before. Now they're so proud of themselves because they put it in the third. And they're surprised by how much of a difference it makes. And there's other rules or guidelines, you know, golden triangle and that kind of stuff. I think the rule of thirds is probably the easier one to understand for the beginner. Mm-hmm. And doing that, not putting everything dead center. You know, give that a try if you're a beginner. And putting something off to the left or to the right. You can see it here in this example, how they put the tree off to the right. And typically, if you're going to have a creature, a human or an animal or something like that, look in one direction. Typically, if you're going to have them look in one direction, you want them in the opposite direction of the third. So if I'm looking to the left, you want me in the right third.
Yes.
So that I don't feel pushed up against the edge.
Right, looking off into
the dead space.
Yeah, on the picture, right.
Yeah. All right, so rule of thirds.
And the other one about this one, not only is a tree at that rule of third, but the horizon is not dead center. There's a lot of people that put the horizon dead center.
Yeah, I got to watch that because sometimes I do that too.
Yeah, that's one of the things I always think of when I'm taking a picture.
Yep. Not a lot of chat out there. Hopefully,
and my camera also the screen. I'm pretty sure now. I gotta look. I have it set up that I have a rule of thirds. I have the screen in there with the rule of thirds, so it helps me place it.
Yep, I do too.
You had to think. Is it there?
Yeah, because I don't remember if I left it there. All right, here's the other one. This is one of the ones I give people right off the bat because it's so easy for somebody to remember and think about it. And that is change your perspective, which the one I talk about is getting down to the subject level. Don't take all your photos looking down at your kids. Yeah, even your young kids who are playing sports, like let's say soccer, you know, they're out in the field, you're standing up taking photos, all your photos are going to be at an angle. As they get bigger, the field gets bigger and that angle, you know, changes. So you could stand up and they're bigger, so that works. But especially when they're little, you want to get you either sitting on the ground or sitting in your chair. Don't worry about if you look like you're lazy. You're actually taking better photos than other people. Get down to their level. If you're taking a dog or a kid, something like that, who's in the house, get down to their level and it'll make a difference. So here's an example they show of taking a picture of this dog, which that's a snapshot that you take with your cell phone.
Right, and that's what you look at every day of your dog.
Yeah, that's not very good. And not that this one is genius, but look at the difference in the two. The second one, the one below, is much more interesting than the one above. Mm-hmm. And that's just changing your angle. The person, probably all they did was kneel down.
Yep.
Same position, same spot on the floor, just kneel down. All right. So give that a try. Take it from different angles. And this was where I was talking about earlier is hopefully if, as a beginner, if you're not already, you're moving toward RAW. Yeah, if you're shooting a JPEG, your camera is doing post-processing, whatever you set up. If you're shooting in RAW, it's recording those things in a separate file, but not actually changing the RAW file. That RAW file is coming out unedited. So you need to do some light editing. And in our beginner group, we had a small discussion where someone was telling me, I can't remember what they said they did, but I've had this debate with somebody else where they think if when they want to shoot black and white, even though they're shooting RAW, they change the camera to be set to black and white. And I said, that way, my images, he says, I know I can convert them to black and white later, but they look better when I shoot them in camera black and white and then bring them in and edit them versus bringing them in color and then converting them to black and white. And I said, it makes no difference whatsoever. If you're shooting in RAW, the image is unaffected by your black and white setting. Mm-hmm. Your software, maybe when you brought it in, said, oh, you shot this, you want this to be black and white, and it made an adjustment for you to already put it in black and white. Some software does that. But those settings, the sharpness, the black and white setting, the color, all those color settings that you do don't impact the raw image. Now, what it does do is it changes the image on the back of your monitor because that's
right,
a JPEG.
That's a JPEG.
So, you know, if that helps you, if you say, I want to see what it looks like that way, then hey, go ahead and do that. You know, if you want to shoot black and white, if you're out just to shoot black and white, you want to see what the black and white image looks like on the back of your screen, then go ahead and shoot in black and white. But you still have the color image if you are shooting in raw. Which means you need to do some post-processing. That doesn't mean you got to go out and spend hours Photoshopping something and doing all this kind of stuff. But it does, you know, to bring out the true quality of an image, you need to do some editing to it. And that could be, you know, there's lots of options out there. If you don't want to do the subscription model with Adobe, there is Luminar. Mm-hmm. There is On1, and there's other things out there too. If you want to go free, there's even GIMP that you can go and you can get. Yeah, AD says that sounds like an excuse not to learn how to post process to black and white properly, but do what works for you. I struggled forever with black and white, and I'm finally starting to get on the happy side of that. Yeah.
And if he's only getting happy, yeah. What's
it
about the rest of us?
Yeah, it says we have no chance. But
yeah.
Yeah, just know that if you're shooting in RAW, the whole beauty of RAW is you have latitude to change all that later on. But if it does help you to see it on the back of the screen, go right ahead. But what was I saying? Oh, if you do want to go with the Adobe route, you know, you can get Adobe Lightroom and Photoshop for $9.99 a month, right? Mm-hmm. You do have to then pay for it forever. Once you stop paying for it, you can no longer, it doesn't delete your files, but you can no longer edit new files, I believe. So it's not going out there, you're not going to go out there and delete the images you had.
Right.
Maybe unless you stored them all online at Adobe, maybe then. But if you got them locally.
You probably will lose access. Well, yeah. I'm not going to stop that, so.
Yeah. But $9.99 a month for Photoshop. And Lightroom. You know, Lightroom before when it wasn't subscription, it was what, $150 new or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And I think like $99 or $79 a year.
Yeah. Where Photoshop was, you know, $600 for that new. Now the beauty of it was is let's say you'd buy Photoshop, you don't have to upgrade every time it upgrades. You might skip two or three upgrades.
Right.
So you're not rebuying the $600 program every year. You may be buying it every 3, 4, 5 years. Some people even longer than that. So then you say, well, if I'm only buying it every 5 years, it's a little more than $100 a year. Still, that's $100 a year. And you're, what, five generations maybe behind. With this, with Adobe Creative Cloud, the photography plan, you're paying, what, $10, $120 a year. And you're getting the most up-to-date Lightroom and Photoshop. So if you can swing it, if $120 a year is in your budget, and you're serious about photography, I would definitely look at that. If not, there's other things you can buy and not have to worry about the subscription price. Mm-hmm. So that's five. Six, and this goes practice, practice, practice. You know, get out there and shoot. I don't know if it talks about this here, but you want to shoot and then go and look at the results. You look at them on your camera, what worked, what didn't work. Sometimes you can't always tell on that little screen. Is it really sharp? Is it really in focus? What's going on? You want to get back to your computer and look there and see what worked, what didn't work. And then learn from that. You know, making mistakes is good. You learn from your mistakes and hopefully get better. And then the last one is don't blame your gear. It's not the gear, it's you. You know, it's, and we talked about this before. If you're thinking about upgrading to another camera, that's fine. If you, you know, if you want to spend the money to buy another camera and you got the money, go right ahead. But you should always ask yourself, what is the current camera not doing for you that the new one will?
Right.
And sometimes
it's not going to take better pictures.
Yeah. Because I think you see this in life. Maybe you've worked with somebody before who's jumped jobs a lot. They're always searching for that perfect job. What they don't realize is the reason they can never find it is not the job, it's them. Mm-hmm. They can never escape themselves. You know? So sometimes the problem with your photography is you, it's not the camera.
Wow. That's profound.
It's true, you know, it's not always the camera.
Yeah, we just lost half our audience.
Well, if they get better, and Greg says, it's got to be my gear. I'm an expert. And Greg's more advanced than me. And that could be it. Sometimes it is the camera.
Hey, you know what? I know it was my gear on my last shoot because I had little dark spots in the sky. So there's obviously dirt on my sensor and it's the gear, not me. Granted, yeah. I didn't clean it, but.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example where it was the gear. So when I first started getting into photography, my first, let's call it semi-reel, was an Olympus E10. And that was, it did not have a removable lens, okay, but it looked like a DSLR. It didn't have a movable lens, and lots of people loved that camera, and it was all right, you know, for what it did, but it was more of a point and shoot. So as I'm trying to take, you know, with a point and shoot, if you ever tried to take sports photos with a point and shoot, it has to pre-focus, and then it does not continuous focus. At least back then, the one I had didn't. So you'd almost have to focus on a plane. A part of the field and wait for people to run into it and then shoot. Very, very aggravating to take sports photos with that. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to do more sports photos as my kids were getting into the sports. And that camera was definitely never going to meet my needs. And that's when I got my first Nikon, a Nikon D100. And it, you know, could do the continuous autofocus and do that. So at that point, lots of other things where the Olympus, I had not outgrown the Olympus, and you know, my skill level wasn't up to the Olympus camera. But as far as sports photography, the Olympus E10 was not going to get me there. So that was a case where the camera was the problem. And let's see. Here's what Norman says. What I did was shoot RAW on one card and black and white JPEG on the other. Helped me learn what makes a better black and white. Bringing both up. Yeah. So what you can, if, you know, going back to that, if you wanted to shoot RAW plus JPEG and you put it on black and white, the RAW still has all the color information. The JPEG has been converted to black and white.
Right.
Whatever the camera wants to convert it to, black and white.
I can't remember the last time. No, I shouldn't say I do remember the last time, but I rarely ever shoot JPEG in RAW. I only shoot RAW.
Yeah. When I first started, I shot only JPEG. And then I before I made the leap over, I went halfway, shot JPEG and RAW, because I wasn't sure. And back then, what
did
I was doing.
Did we just lose a video stream? I just lost it on YouTube.
All right, Tim. So that was the top 7 tips for beginners on things that they should consider. Mm-hmm. I think if you're in a beginners group and you consider yourself a beginner. And if you're considering yourself a beginner and you're not in our beginners group, we'd love to have you come over to Facebook and join our beginners group. But those are 7 great tips for beginners. I'll post the link in our show notes so you can go out there and do it. All right, Tim, what is the thing you think I dislike the most? What creature?
Spiders.
Yes, I cannot. I do not like spiders. So
yes, I think we've talked about that.
Yes, I do not like spiders. And how do you think I'd feel about this thing? 1,000-foot spider web blanketing a Greek town.
Yeah, no.
I guess these are tarantulas, which just sounds awful, who were for mating and to trap growing mosquito population. They set up 1,000-foot spider web, and you can see it just everywhere. And as they built the web that covered, it says here on the thing, as they built the web, they kept covering up large parts of the beach, trees, bushes, and even animals. I don't know what kind of animal is moving that slow. Maybe like a snail.
It's a sloth.
but look at this.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This is where you get a flamethrower.
Yeah. That looks spooky. Maybe Halloween's there already.
I would move. Oh my God. This is not pretty at all to me. And you know, to take that photo I'm showing you right now, or any of these photos, I would need the longest lens I have.
And really long pants.
And yes.
With rubber bands around the ankles.
And I would constantly be checking everything around me. Yeah. So they're saying out there, unreal, YouTube is gone down. That will hit the news. Yeah, I mean, YouTube, oh my God, look at that. Yeah. YouTube going down is big news. Look at that boat. That is just awful. I don't know if all those little specks are mosquitoes and everything. So great that it's getting the mosquitoes. I just don't want to have to be around this. Hope it wasn't tourist season, because I would be disappointed if I went there as a tourist. That's just awful. That's just awful. All right, Tim. I got two things to we can wrap it up here. Okay. Two things to talk about maybe three. You and I both have additional things. We have the mouse. You have the keyboard, of course, to edit your photos, and work in programs. I had at one point the Wacom tablet. I still do.
I haven't used it in a long time.
I never use it. Yeah, I just never use it. I do have this Stream Deck out by from Elgato, I think is what it is, that I use and mainly in Adobe Premiere and Adobe Audition for editing videos and audio, and I did a little bit in Lightroom. It's a programmable, I've talked about it before, it's a programmable thing, so you can program keystrokes and that kind of stuff into it. And you have something too, right? You bought something. I don't know if you got to use it.
Loop Deck, brief. I still haven't finished my pictures from Disney, which is sad. So Loop Deck, I got to transfer them from my laptop now over to my desktop, and then I'm going to re-edit them. I tagged everything, so that's done. It's just editing the pictures now.
If you don't mind me asking, what price range was that Loop Deck in?
Is it $150?
Okay.
I think it was about that.
And I think this normally goes for like $149, this Stream Deck from Elgato. And I got it, I think, when Amazon had that sale thing they did not too long ago. I got it for, I believe, either $79 or $99. It was a good bit off of the regular price. So I had wanted one, and so I finally got one. The reason I bring that up is, you know, I like to find these obscure little products that are out there, right? So there is this product called a Tourbox. They say it's a game changer for Photoshop and Lightroom. And I believe the price, like $89.
Yeah, I think I saw $89, pledge $89. So you're getting it? You pledged?
No, I'm not going to get this. It doesn't necessarily look bad. You know, you basically, you're putting it in your left or right hand, whichever is not your dominant hand. You're putting it in your left or right hand, and you're using your mouse, or Wacom tablet or something like that to do whatever. And then you're using this thing to change, you know, filter size or filter hardness or something like that. Changing sliders and all that kind of stuff. So it's just that they're showing you here where you can do a lot of adjustments really fast with this thing. You know, when you look at this, you go, it's another one of those Kickstarter gimmick things. And I'm not going to buy this one, but I have found I am more productive with my Stream Deck. And I think if you, your Loop Deck, if you get to start using that,
I think it's going to be very productive.
You're going to find that you're more productive with it. And so this is not that far-fetched, whether you want this one or not, or you want something else. You know, it's probably worth taking a look at some of these things. The price is not bad on this. $89, you and I both paid more for what we have.
Oh, God, yeah.
So how this compares to our two products, I don't know. This thing is totally programmable, so it's not just Lightroom and Photoshop you can use it for. You can do other things with it. I think it's designed mainly for those things, but you can do other things with it. So if you haven't got one of those, I would wait for this one to get out and hear what the reviews are on it, whether you want to buy something like that. There's lots of reviews already on the Stream Deck. It's not as fancy as what you saw there. It doesn't have the dials and everything. Yours, let's look yours up. What was yours? The
Loop Deck.
L-O-U-P?
L-O-U-P-D-E-C-K.
Yeah, that refused to connect. Let's go to this. Wow, it's $179 now, Tim.
Oh, wow. So I don't think I paid that much. I have to look. So let's go to Gmail and see how much I paid for it.
Yeah, this has a lot on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's full. I bought it from B&H.
It has specific buttons for contrast, clarity, exposure, highlights, whites, blacks, shadows. And then imagine some of these others.
Oh, scratch that. I paid $229 for it because I have Loop Deck Plus.
Okay. What does the Plus add?
It's just more robust.
Okay.
So it doesn't feel cheap anymore. The buttons actually have clicks in there. So it's definitely the reviews. That's why I actually wound up getting it versus the other one. Oh, wow. I paid a lot. I better start using it now.
Willie says, yes, you guys broke the internet worldwide. I knew when we started streaming 1080p, something bad would happen.
When I type something into YouTube, it says 500 internal server errors. Sorry, something went wrong. A team of highly trained monkeys have been dispatched to deal with the situation. Well, see them, send them the information in this text.
I'm sure a lot of highly trained people are working on it right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
One thing I see on your Loop Deck is the star rating button. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it.
Even the pick?
Yeah, it's got the picks, the colors, the star ratings.
I wish it had pick and reject.
It really is. When I went through it, I just got to sit down and use it. But my problem is I got to finish that bathroom behind me before I can really do anything.
Well, after you use it, we would like to have a little mini review and see how you actually like it. All right. So I think that's all I want to talk about as far as articles. I didn't want to show you, and I wish AD could hear us now, but he doesn't have Facebook, so he can't hear us and can't see us. But this was his recommendation. Tim, on your camera, you have a mirrorless Sony.
Yes.
Hey.
SLT.
So, hey, out on YouTube. And if you're listening to this later, the recorded version, you wonder why I keep bringing this. YouTube crashed worldwide while we were doing the show. In the middle of the show. We do stream live to YouTube and Facebook, so a number of people are out on Facebook, Willie and Greg and some other people made it over here. But YouTube is down, but something's going on because I see AD just posted a comment there, so it's working. But AD Wheeler, co-host with me on the JPEG Raw Photo Review Show, we were talking about the diopter on a DSLR.
Right, we talked about this three weeks ago.
And so, like, if you're like me and you shoot with glasses, you can change the diopter to, you should, if you glasses or not glasses, you should change that setting so that you have a in-clear focused shot. And the way to do it is you turn it on, you leave your lens cap on, and then you look through the lens cap at the text inside mm-hmm. there, and you turn the dial until you have a clear shot. And
right, AD brought that up, and I'd never thought of that, and it makes so much sense because I would press halfway down the shutter to get it in focus, and then I would change the diopter. But looking at the text makes so much more sense.
All right, so if you have glasses, Tim, though, you know, you might want to shoot without your glasses, because putting the glasses up against there, I'm used to it. I've been doing it forever. But I would rather, if I didn't have to, not have to wear my glasses when I did it. And so what I would like to be able to do is put on, you know, some of those little straps you put on your glasses. And when I go to shoot, just kind of drop my glasses and have it hanging around my my chest. But on my camera, setting the dial, the diopter,
Wasn't enough. Even if the maximum wasn't reaching for you.
Wasn't enough. So yours has a diopter on yours?
Yes.
Okay. And you don't, do you wear contacts?
I had laser surgery.
Okay. So you, it's not a problem for you.
Correct.
But for me, it, you know, it obviously doesn't work. So I had to go all the way. Well, there is, you can buy, this is a Nikon DK17C. And it's the -3. I don't know if you can see the -3. -3.
Yeah, -3 on the top right.
Yeah, -3. I wasn't sure if I needed minus or plus, because it's I can see close up, not far away. So if you're like me, if you can see close up but not far away, you need the minus. If you can see close up, if you can see far away but not close up, you need the plus. And -3 was the most I could find. It really says stop pressing buttons. You're breaking the internet worldwide. these things are not that expensive. I think this was like $17.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah, to do that. And I'm going to show you how easy it is to change this out. Let me get a shot here.
Okay.
So again, with a Nikon, there we go. With a Nikon, in this one, it's, you see my eyepiece is round. Right? Are you seeing that, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
So the DK17C, that series, I'm not sure what the other, there's other names for ones that are not round. So if you have a Nikon with a round eyepiece, you want something like this DK17C. Look it up and see if it fits your camera. So what you would do is unscrew this. But if you try and unscrew it, it won't unscrew. It won't come off.
Okay.
So what you have to do in your Nikon is, on this one, I have a little, the little shutter thing. I close that. So now you can, I don't know if you can see that. There you,
oh, that's cool.
There you
so
go.
So it protects it now.
Yep. So now you can unscrew it and take it off.
Oh, really? Look at that. So really now easy. You're protecting the lens.
Yeah. So
the viewfinder.
The viewfinder. So then you put on your new one. This is the -3 that I have on here. Put that on there. Now it's all in there and you can open it back up. Really easy to change out and put that there. In my case, even with the -3, the -3 is the max I can get. I have to open this and go to the max setting.
Oh, really?
The max minus setting. And I still think I'm a click short of where I really want it to be.
Where you really want it.
So for me, you know, setting that diopter to the max minus, I can. It's good enough. I can then, you know, take photos without my glasses. It's really nice to be able to, for the first time, to be able to shoot without glasses. without glasses and be able to do that. So that's nice, because what I, a lot of times, Tim, what I have to do is whenever I would.
I have to wear reading glasses, though. That's a sad thing.
Well, you see, that's what was happening. So when I wanted to really look at it on the back of my camera, I would sometimes take my glasses off to look at it on the back of the camera, then put my glasses back on to shoot.
Yeah.
And then do that. Well, what I can do now is just have these, you know, hanging around my neck and, you know, shoot like a normal person.
Now you're saying all the people with glasses are not normal.
Well, I'm one of us. I'm one of us. I do wish that there was like a -4 so that I could go another few clicks with that. But hey, it is a game changer. It wasn't that expensive. If you haven't done it before, try it. There are other adapters you can get that, you know, or that would fit the other formats of the camera, you know, that maybe you don't have this, the round eyepiece. There are other ones you can get. And I'm sure, I'm talking about Nikon here. I'm sure Canon, maybe Sony have those things too. Other eyepieces that you can fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
So give that a look and a try. And now the thing I was going to talk about, where I wish AD was here now. He doesn't have what do you call it? Facebook, so he can't tell us.
Yes. And YouTube is still down.
And Willie says, guys on YouTube, have you tried rebooting it?
You mean out in Google land?
Yes, yes.
All right. Actually, before it was coming up, I actually had some videos up there, but then it disappeared again. So
yeah, there obviously something's going on. So Tim, you know, I mentioned I finally got up to the North Georgia Mountains and did a weekend with my wife and everything. So I got out there late at night, and I wanted to take some, see if I can get some of the Milky Way shots. Because down here, you know, in Metro Atlanta, there's so much light pollution. It's just not even worth it. But it was, to my eye, pitch black dark out there. So I go set my tripod up there, get my camera all ready, and set it. What kind of exposure do you think you need for something like that? And I'm putting you on a spot because I don't know myself either. But on a DSLR, my maximum length I can do is 30 seconds.
You don't have a bulb setting?
I do have a bulb setting. But how do you do bulb setting?
Well, I have a remote that I can use that just opens it up, and then you click it again and close it.
Something like this?
Yeah.
And I guess you could press the shutter to open it and then press the shutter to close it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't do that. I set it on 30 seconds. That didn't work. Set it on, I kept up an exposure. I mean, ISO, that didn't work. the aperture, yes, I did have it pretty stopped down at first and decided I'll open it up. So I kept playing with everything. I never could get what I wanted. And I was so wishing I had brought this with me. This is the thing you were talking about, the remote shutter. Mm-hmm. Mine is wired. I'd have to plug it in there and do that. But yes, if you're stuck like that where you don't have the remote shutter, you can do what Tim said. And you can put it in bulb mode. Yours has that too, the mirrorless?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you set it in bulb mode. You press your button. I'm going to do one right now.
And I'm just going to make sure I do, because as I'm speaking here, so I don't feel like an idiot. Yeah, bulb. There it is.
And I'm in manual mode. I'm going to set it to.
Yeah, I think I have to be in bulb. Manual. I don't think I can.
I'm going
to
set the bulb. Press. Tim, that didn't work. Okay, here's the thing. Here's why I couldn't do it. Is when you're in bulb mode, at least on this Nikon, you have to hold the button.
Yeah, same with me.
As soon as you let go of the button, it lets go.
Right.
So I'm not sure I can get a steady shot.
Well, and that's
that.
Why you have
awesome to, shot, total that, white.
But that's why you have to do it with the remote control.
Exactly.
Holding it. Because the problem is when you press on the camera, you may be introducing movement on the camera body itself. So if you're using a remote control with a cable attached to it, you shouldn't have that. But I think I want to say and I'd have to look in the closet for my sure it has a setting.
Right. So what the heck? Yeah. So my point was, I was finally in a spot where I wanted to take those shots, Tim, but I didn't have the right gear to do it.
Right.
And like you said, bulb mode can work, but you're going to have to leave your finger there, and that pressing or long exposure is going to introduce shake.
Right, on the camera, absolutely.
So what I did, so you say, well, Mike, you still had to press the button for the 30-second thing, when you're trying the 30-second thing. Yeah, but I set it on a timer. So I had a 2-second timer, and I would press the button and then let go, and then in 2 seconds it would take the shot. Let me set this to press the button. Okay, I'm not doing it right now. And then 2 seconds.
Like a live test.
And that would, must have been more than 2 seconds because there it did it. That would, okay, it's doing things now. That would then take it in by having a 2-second or 5-second or whatever you needed to do. You'd press it, it would give it a second to settle down and then take the shot. So if you can do that with up to 30 seconds is the max I can do that with, and then you go into bulb mode, you can get away with it that way. But in my case, 30 seconds was not going to be enough. All right. Well, Tim, worldwide YouTube is down while we're trying to stream there.
Yeah, that is the
And that's all I had for tonight. So we're going to go into, we're going to wrap this up, go into post show. Everybody who made it out for the portion that worked on YouTube, thank you for coming around. Everybody who who you moved over to Facebook, and Willie, who's been over there, Greg's been over there, some others, thank you for coming over to Facebook and watching. Facebook is still working tonight, and several things broke tonight. I didn't break the camera. It's still working fine. And on the computer, I just forgot to delete a couple of shows ago, so it has only so much hard drive space. It's an SSD what I write to during the show. And I'm not supposed to leave four or five shows on it. Record it, move it, and then ready for the next show. So that was why that one filled up when it shouldn't have. So anyway, let's go ahead and wrap up. And we'll see you, I think, this Sunday. This Sunday, AD and I are doing the photo review show. So come out this Sunday. Hopefully the internet is back up and running by then. So until next show, keep shooting, or keep it raw. Good night.
Good night.